Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We've got some really interesting material today looking into what's called the human epistemic structure.
That's right.
It's less about just, you know, grabbing facts and more about how we actually know things, the whole setup underneath.
Exactly. And it makes you think, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever really broken down the different, well, faculties or tools you use when you're learning something or deciding what to believe?
Probably not in this much detail.
Mm-hmm.
So these sources lay out a pretty fascinating framework.
They do. It starts with three core activities, you could say.
Mm-hmm.
Discerning, connecting, and engaging.
Okay. Discerning, connecting, engaging. What do those mean in the simple terms?
Well, discerning is basically spotting the new thing, picking it out.
Okay.
Connecting is linking it to what you already know, seeing how it fits or doesn't fit.
Right. Making sense of it relative to other stuff.
Yeah. And engaging is more active, doing something with that information, testing it, using it.
It's like seeing a weird bird, discerning.
Uh-huh.
Realizing it's like a robin, but different. Connecting.
Yep.
And then maybe looking up its call online. Engaging.
You got it. That's the basic flow.
Okay. So digging into discerning, the sources talk about an analytic faculty. This has perception, understanding, and judgment. How do these work?
So perception is just the raw input, right?
Yeah.
What your senses pick up, seeing the bird's colors, hearing its sound.
Easy to feed.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Then understanding is where your brain starts to process that data, to categorize it, thinking, okay, that's a bird. Or maybe even that's a type of finch.
Putting a label on it.
Kind of. And judgment is evaluating that understanding, like asking yourself, am I sure it's a finch? Does that fit with where I am the time of year?
Mm.
You're assessing your own understanding.
Right, checking your work. Okay, then there's cultural formative enrichment. This sounds different. Imagination, idealization, Will. How did these shape understanding?
Yeah, this is where it gets beyond just like pure logic. Imagination lets you play with possibilities. Maybe you think, could this bird be off course? Is it a species I've never even heard of?
Like a golden mountain idea, something you haven't seen but can conceive of.
Exactly. Idealization is comparing it to some maybe perfect mental image you have, like the quintessential robin in your head. How does this new bird measure up?
And Will?
Will is your drive, your intention to actually figure it out, to learn more, to clarify the fuzzy bits. It directs your focus.
Interesting. The sources also mention an aesthetic side, appropriateness, beauty, sublimity. How does beauty relate to knowing? Seems unusual.
Well, think about a really elegant solution to a problem or a scientific theory that just clicks together perfectly. There's a kind of epistemic beauty there. It feels right, fitting.
Okay, I see that. Like Occam's razor sometimes feels beautiful in its simplicity.
Precisely. And sublimity of insight. That's the big aha moment. When a deep understanding hits you, it can feel profound, almost sublime. It gives the knowledge a certain weight.
So feelings are part of knowing in this model.
They can influence what knowledge we value, yeah. Then there's symbolic stretching, using metaphor, analogy, instance.
Tools to grasp the new.
Right. If the bird's song is unfamiliar, you might say it's like a tiny flute. That's a metaphor helping you grasp it. An analogy might compare its behavior to another animal you know.
An instance.
That's just focusing on this specific bird as an example. Learning from the concrete case right in front of you.
Makes sense. Okay, how about convention? Proper name, connotation, universal interchangeability, denotation. Sounds like language stuff.
It is, largely. It's about shared understanding. Giving the bird its accepted name, proper name, denotation, pointing to that specific thing, carries shared meaning. Connotation.
What everyone agrees the name implies.
Yes. And universal interchangeability is about how that bird fits into the wider system, like the Linnaean classification. We agree on the framework, allows us to talk about it consistently.
Shared rules of the game, then the economic aspect.
It's all you.
Value optimization, purchase. Knowledge has an economy.
In a way, you assess its epistemic value. How useful or important is knowing about this bird to you?
Is it worth the effort?
Exactly. Epistemic optimization is about finding the best, most efficient way to learn it. Is reading a specific guide better than asking random people?
And purchase?
What do you gain from it? Practical benefit. Like maybe identifying it helps you track local wildlife. It's the payoff.
Gotcha. Okay, nearly there. Juridical. Claims, balance, validity. Sounds like court.
Huh? A little. It's about judging knowledge claims. If someone tells you what the bird is, you look at their epistemic claim, What's their evidence?
Assessing the argument.
Right. Epistemic balance is seeking multiple perspectives, weighing different evidence or expert views fairly.
Not just taking one person's word.
Correct. And epistemic validity is the overall judgment based on everything. Does the claim hold up? Is it sound according to good principles of, say, bird identification?
Feels like critical thinking.
Very much so. Then there are ethical points, covering existing evidence, fairness to evidence, openness to new evidence.
A moral dimension to knowing.
Yes. Are you honestly considering all the data you have? Are you treating evidence fairly, not just cherry picking? And crucially, are you willing to change your mind if new compelling evidence comes along?
That openness seems key.
It's fundamental to good epistemic practice.
Finally, certitudinal. Integrity of witness, systemic commitment, follow through. This relates to belief, right? Confidence.
Yeah, it's about the confidence you place in knowledge.
Yeah.
Do you trust the source, the integrity of the witness?
Is the person or source reliable?
Right. Systemic commitment. Does the information fit consistently within a larger trusted system of knowledge? Does the method used seem reliable?
And follow through.
Does it hold up over time? Do your own further observations or experiences confirm it? That builds confidence. Consistency.
It's interesting they place certitudinal here, kind of encompassing the others in a way.
It is a slightly unusual placement in the structure presented, yeah. But it emphasizes how trust and consistency underpin our confidence.
Wow. So knowing isn't just one thing. It's this whole complex interplay of analysis, culture, feeling, language, economics, judgment, ethics.
Absolutely. It's a multifaceted structure with all these dimensions working together, sometimes smoothly, sometimes in tension.
A really comprehensive way to think about it. Okay, that's our deep dive for today. A final thought for you listening. Knowing this structure, this intricate web, how might that change the way you approach the next piece of news you read or the next complex idea you grapple with? Something to ponder.